In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is good. Well, thank you, Peter. This is good. And what happens with this, these prayers with this blessing, your spiritual life will deepen. Your spiritual life will become more fruitful. You will see that as you pray, it's really a new beginning that God is calling you to. And this is so important today. I mean, I hear people very upset about what's happening, complaining, being negative, fearful. And there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. We must be courageous. God is in charge, and God is using every situation that we're in for his glory. And what the evil one likes to do is taunt us, you know, make us afraid. Looking at the situations all around us, what happens is we become more and more nervous and frustrated and anxious. The more that we learn about what we're going through, the difficulties that we're going to face, Jesus says to Louisa, "You must be courageous. Stop worrying." And he's talking to us as well, who want to live in the divine will. Louisa learned how to live in the divine will, and now Jesus is teaching us how to live in the divine will. And what we're learning right now about the mission of Jesus, Mary, Louisa helps us to understand what's coming. Today's reading in the calendar, astonishing promises God is giving. When you read the calendar, you're always filled with peace, joy, and happiness. As you read the promises, the manifestations, the truths, the secrets of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given to Louisa to give to us. It's really astonishing what God is doing. Whoops. God is good. There we go. Yeah, God is having a lot of fun with us. He loves to play games with us, as a good father does. And it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be worried about. It's nothing to be anxious about. So let's go right into this, these writings, what Jesus tells Louisa. This is why we are alive today. We're alive today to enter into this abundant life. And as you read what Jesus teaches Louisa, as you listen to the Lord God Almighty revealing to you a new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul has said, I think this is the great thing that's coming. It's a great and powerful thing that's happening. And Jesus is asking us to understand he's in charge. So listen to what Jesus shows Louisa. Louisa says, "I was thinking," volume 17, May 1st, 1925, "the mission of living in the divine world, the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mission of Mary Most Holy, and the mission of Louisa." Louisa says, "I was thinking about many things that my beloved Jesus told me on his most holy divine will, and some doubts came back to me." Okay, so here at the end of Jesus, at the end of Louisa's life, Louisa says, "Jesus, I'm so sorry I doubted. I'm so sorry I was worried. I'm so sorry that I was fearful. I'm so sorry I was anxious. I'm please accept my apology." And Jesus said to Louisa, "You never doubted. You never questioned. You always lived in the divine will." And she says, "But Lord," all throughout my life, it sounds like I'm complaining. And Jesus says, "This isn't your questions. This is the questions of all the souls who are going to live in the divine will. And I gave their questioning to you, Louisa, to put you through it so you understood where they were coming from, so that I could answer you to answer them." This is something that's really important. All the questions that you have ever had are answered by Jesus in the book of heaven. I know that might sound simplistic, but It's true. Any question that you've ever had, you know, dealing with God and what God has planned for humanity is answered in the book of heaven. And what happens as you read the book of heaven, what Jesus has taught Louisa is how to say fiat. Why? To teach us. You know, we need to trust in God. Fiat. There's the final devotion that God gave to the church through St. Faustina was divine mercy. What does that mean? Divine mercy is Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I hope in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. No matter what I have to go through, I trust you. And that's what everything is based on, that trust in Jesus, trust in Mary, this confidence in God. Because what we're going to go through is every heresy that the church has ever gone through, every difficulty that we haven't even ever experienced is what we're going to go through. And the evil one, knowing human misery, you know, causing us to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, because we've chosen not to live in God's divine will through Adam's disobedience, through Adam's original sin. What the evil one wants to do is make us upset. So throughout the day, Jesus presents something to us. What about this situation? And our response should be fiat, Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. I have hope in you. That's why the 3 o'clock hour is so powerful when to pray the chaplet of divine mercy. It's to discipline ourselves to surrender to him with total confidence. It's we have to give up. You see, this is the martyrdom of martyrdoms that Jesus is asking of us to go through. That's what he asked Louisa to go through. What is the martyrdom of martyrdoms? It's to give up all what that you're thinking, saying, and doing in the human will. Why? Well, the priest says it every day at Holy Mass when he puts the drop of water to the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Saint Peter says in his epistle, we are called to be divinized. And that's hard for people to hear because you don't hear it. And when you think about, this is new age. No, this is what Jesus is calling us to get out of the fallen human. Even we have been redeemed by Christ. Why have we been redeemed? Jesus tells Louisa, and Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, is to then begin to enter into this abundant life, sharing in divinity. So here he says, I've come with some doubts came back to me. These are our questions. What we put Louisa through, can you imagine? Every one of our doubts, every one of our worries, our fears, our anxieties, our complaints, our negativities were given to Louisa. And Louisa went through our misery to present it to Jesus. And Jesus says, no, this is what you need. He goes, that's why the You Must Know book is great. I think we're going to do another book. Do you know? That's another, not You Must Know, but Jesus says, do you know this? And when we enter into this, You Must Know, God is teaching us. You have to understand this, Jesus says. Why you have been created. Why I have redeemed you. It's to bring us back to sanctification, to bring us back to the life that Adam had when that breath of God, the Ruach of God, breathed into Adam. And Adam, out of the dust, came the image and likeness of God. That's us. So Jesus is going to bring us back to that. So here, Louisa, what we've done to her, some of the doubts came back. Some of our questions given to Louisa, so Louisa could understand what we were saying, to ask Jesus so that Jesus could answer us through her. When I hear people say, oh, Louisa always complained. Louisa was always negative. I said, you haven't read the volumes. Jesus says to Louisa, you never went through this. I put you through this because of the questions of your brothers and sisters that I was going to answer them through you, Louisa. All our questions are answered in the book of heaven. I can guarantee you. But Jesus, it says this, but who knows, it might really not be necessary to say everything, or that some things were not necessary. But Jesus wanting to lovingly resolve my doubts. That's our doubts. And when you read the book of heaven, your questions are answered. My doubts and make me know the mission Jesus entrusts to the one who is to make his divine will known. Again, who is the one to make the divine will known? It's Luisa Picaretto. Jesus said to Luisa, everything's done. Everything's accomplished. Now it needs to be known. What needs to be known? It needs to be known that Luisa has done this. It's completed. The kingdom is basically ready to be given to the world. But Jesus says, I want the world to know this. What does he want us to know? He says the prodigy of prodigies is Luisa Picaretta and the divine will. It's not just the divine will. I hear so many people saying, well, Luisa did her thing. Now I'm going to do my thing. What can you do? What can you do? He says, but love, Jesus lovingly want to resolve my doubts, our doubts. He wants us to understand what he has done is to go to Jesus and Mary through Luisa. You get to the new Adam and the new Eve through this newborn Luisa Picaretta. Everything's been accomplished. And he says, now it needs to be known. What needs to be known? Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want this. Your parishioners don't want this. What needs to be known? We who have been given the book of heaven have to know this. We have to understand this, because what Jesus says to us, and he said to Luisa, is I want you to be the yeast. Again, he says, all of humanity is the flour, and you don't need much yeast to make the loaf of bread rise. And that's why Jesus said, and this is a hard thing for people to hear, there's only going to be a few at the beginning who will live in the divine will. Because he says, I need you to be the yeast so that the leaven, the life, the love, the light of God is given to you. He says this, but Jesus wanted to lovingly resolve my doubts and to make me know, make us know the mission he entrusted to Luisa, the one who is to make the divine will known, have chosen Luisa for this. She says, having chosen for this the misery that I am, see, she's talking about Luisa, to my great stupefaction and confusion, continuing his holy instruction on the matter, told me, my daughter, Luisa, every mission is to be connected to the office of executing it, and therefore it must be carried out, omitting nothing of that which belongs to it. So these 36 volumes, Jesus says, all the truths, all the promises, all the knowledges that I have manifested to you, the secrets of the Holy Spirit that I've revealed to you, Luisa, has to be fulfilled through you, Luisa. He says to Luisa, if you're the only one that lives in the divine will, I will be eternally happy. You represent of all mankind. See, when we pray in the divine will, we pray not for me, not for my, what I want, but for what God wants. God wants all of humanity to return back to the origin of the purpose for which they were created. That means to live in the divine will. This life, this love, this light of God is very far from us, yet it's right with us. Why is it far from us? Because we don't understand it. We don't know this yet. Now, he asks us to read, to study, to put this into practice, to begin to understand what this is about, so that for all eternity, until the end of everything, he says, you're just at the beginning. The infinity of God, the beauty of God, the omnipotence of God, the greatness of God, the love of God is so magnificent, so tremendous that it's going to take more than eternity to even get at the beginning of understanding who God is. That's our joy. We were created to participate in God. We were created so that we could serve God. Bob Dylan has a great song. You got to serve someone. It's either the devil. It's either the devil or the Lord, but you got to serve someone. That's why we were created. We were created to be one with God, to recognize God, to adore God, to love God, to praise God, to glorify God. That's the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. Nobody's there yet, but Jesus is offering this to us because he says, I have so much to give. He's God's gratuitous. He can't stop giving. And so therefore he's asking us to look at this one, this newborn, Louisa. Look at Louisa. And he says, so she says, he goes, he entrusts to the one who is to make his divine will known. And then he goes, Lord, you have chosen me in the misery that I am, to my great confusion. How can you do this? Our Lady said similar something. You're going to be the mother of God. She goes, how can I do this? How can I please God? How can I say yes to God? I've already vowed my life to be virginal. This is going to be my life. And now you're saying that I'm going to be the mother. How can this happen? How can I do this so that God is pleased? And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. Louisa's doing the same thing. You have chosen me for this great event, this great thing. I'm this miserable human being and you've chosen me. Continuing in his holy instructions on this matter, he told me, Louisa, my daughter, every mission is to be connected to the office of executing it. So Louisa, this is going to be done. It's going to be fulfilled. Therefore, it must be carried out without omitting anything, without omitting nothing that which belongs to it. In fact, every mission which is destined for the good of others has its own particular gifts, graces, riches, qualities, which are useful for its execution. So here Jesus is saying to Louisa, everything's planned. Everything's ready. You have given your fiat. And he says, watch what I'm going to do. This is for us to understand. Volume 17, May 1st. Volume 17, May 4th, 1925. These are, if you understand this, you understand that what God is doing is he's regenerating life. He says that the seed, I mean, this is what Jesus talks about, not Jesus, this is what the sacred scripture tells us about in Genesis 3:15, the seed of Mary, the seed of the woman. Okay. This seed, Jesus says, is the divine will. Women don't have seed. But what was given to Mary, what is given to Louisa, is this gift of the divine will. This is, Jesus tells us, the divine seed that he wants to give, to bring to life all of humanity. He says this very, very clearly. He says, this mission, which is destined for the good of other souls, has its own particular gifts, graces, riches, qualities, which are useful for its execution. My holy humanity received from my divinity the mission of the salvation of souls and the office of Redeemer. So Jesus shows us his mission was to redeem. That is to redeem humanity from the slavery of sin and from eternal death. We were freed. I mean, think about this. There's three purifications. The first purification is the flood, where we were freed from the humanity was freed from the slavery we were involved in at that time. The redemption, Jesus died on the cross, shed every drop of blood so that we're freed from the slavery of the devil. And now this fire from heaven is coming, and the fire from heaven is beautiful. It's the fire of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that's coming upon the earth. It's going to be bad for those who don't want what God wants. There'll be wailing and grinding of teeth. But for those who want what God wants, it will be ecstasy. You have to understand, there's the sheep and the goats. You know, Jesus, why do you separate sheep and goats? You separate sheep and goats because the goats are weak. If they have no wool, and when they're out in the cold, they'll die of being frozen to death. Where sheep, Don't have to go to the caves. The sheep are strong. That's what God is asking. He's asking us to be strong. And what is he doing at this time? He's giving us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. He wants us to enter into this life because everything's going to change for the better. Everything's going to change for the good. And the evil one knows this. He knows his time is coming to an end. And he's terrified. So what do you do when you corner a wild animal? He growls and hisses and comes at you. Why? He knows it's done for him. She's crushing his head. Jesus says this. He says, my holy humanity received from my divinity the mission of the salvation of souls as office, the office of Redeemer. That is to redeem humanity from the slavery of sin and from eternal death. In order to carry out this office, I, Jesus, was given their souls, their pains, their satisfactions. So when you look at the flood, you know, again, it's hard to explain, but it's the sons of God had children with the daughters of Adam. And there was only one pure family that wasn't interbred. Basically, that's what it says. That which was born with a Nephilim, and God had to clean the world. The world was cleaned, purified. Why? So the human race can begin again. Same thing's happening today. When you look at what's in some of the shots, you go, interesting. Jesus says, what happened in the time of Noah will happen in the time when Jesus returns. Again, everything is planned. God's got everything ready. We're not going to be defeated. He says, the gates of hell will not prevail. What's that prevail mean? It's a full attack inside and outside the church to destroy it. It's been going on, not just recently, but for at least 100 years. Look at the writings of Pope Leo XIII and Pope Pius X. This has been planned. Not God knows what's going to happen, and he's going to defend his church. The church, he tells Louisa, everyone will become Catholic. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. What's coming is so magnificent, and our God is asking us to get ready. So who is he called to be alive at this time? Is us. We're nobodies. We're nothings. And he says, I'll take care of it. That's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort said. St. Louis de Montfort said there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world at that time. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. Great things are right around the corner. Amazing things are right around the corner. So Jesus says this. In order to carry out this office, I was given their souls, their pains, their satisfactions. And he took every one of them and nailed it to the cross. All our worries, all our fears, all our anxieties, all our complaints, all our negativities, all our sins were nailed to the cross. They don't belong to us. The evil one likes to say, well, you're this, you're that, you're miserable, you're upset, no, it's, I trust in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I have confidence in you, Jesus. It doesn't matter what we have to go through. What matters is that we say, yes, Lord, you've carried out your office as Redeemer. You've given our soul. We've given our souls to you, our pains, our satisfactions, and you have taken everything and made them your own. We belong to him. We belong to the Blessed Mother. She was with Jesus on Calvary. Jesus says this, therefore, I, Jesus, enclosed within myself everything from everyone. And if my holy humanity had neglected to enclose in itself just one soul, one satisfaction, the office of Redeemer would have not been complete. I, Jesus, would have enclosed myself in myself all the graces, all the goods, and the light which was necessary to give to each and every soul. It's all set. When we turn to Jesus and say yes, when we say, okay, I trust you. On my part, I, Jesus, had to enclose the goods of all so that I, Jesus, might have necessary and superabundant graces for all mankind, past, present, and future. He's done everything. He's gotten everything ready for what's the reason why he died on the cross? What's the reason he saved us? What is the reason why he redeemed us? In order to be able to save all, this was convenient to me for the decorum and the just honor of my office as Redeemer. Everything is ready. That happened 2,000 years ago. Look at the sun above your horizon. It contains so much light as to be able to give light to all. And even though not all might want to enjoy its light by its unique office as sun, it possesses even the light that creatures might refuse. This was convenient to the sun because it was created by God as the unique sphere, which was to warm and embrace the earth with its light. Each created thing has its own office to carry out. And that office is unique, linked to that being, to that creature. We have an office, each and every one of us. And what Jesus is asking us to be is to be the yeast. Remember what he said to the apostles, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. He says, it's death. He says to us, I want you to be the yeast. As a matter of fact, he says to Luisa, yeast is the most important thing to me, God. Why? He knows everyone is going to possess this and it's going to be leaven for his holy church. Everyone will become Catholic. Everyone will receive the universal life that Adam lost. Okay, let's just think about that. What was Adam's DNA like? What's our DNA like? Adam's DNA was the image and likeness of God. Our DNA says get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and become food for worms. That's not part of God's plan. It's the consequence of sin. But God has plans to bring us back to where we were before the fall. That's what's coming. A new beginning for all of humanity. But it's really not new. It's what God wanted from the beginning of time. What God breathed into Adam, that rule of God, that breath of God into Adam. Why? God wanted Adam to possess God's image and likeness, sharing in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity. May we really go back to where we were before the fall. Go back to paradise. Go back to the garden. He's got this all planned. He's got this all planned. And he needs us to begin to understand what is going on throughout the world. God's saying to everybody, I have to give you what you want. What do you want? It's yours. So if we trust in Jesus, we're going to receive what Jesus wants. If we trust in man, we're going to get what man wants. It's very clear. God is bringing this about. And he says very, very clearly, let's see, each. Okay, thank you. Each created thing has its own office to carry out, and the office is unique, linked to that being, to that creature. Our office is to become yeast, to bring to life our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, to bring to life our parish. How do we do this? It's not like what the saints have done. I remember I mentioned this before when Archbishop Cassati in 1997 said, you have been promoting Luisa in a saintly way, a good way, a holy way. He says, but not in a divine manner. Divine will must be given out in a divine manner. And that really means we begin to live it. I don't care what they do. Jesus said that to Luisa. He says, they're trying to destroy my church, Luisa. He says, they're trying to destroy the world, Luisa. They're trying to kill humanity, Luisa. He says, let them. That sounds harsh. But he says to us, you and I, Luisa, we're going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as in heaven. He says, aren't you happy? He's saying that to us too. Let's look at your family. just your family, your extended family. What do you do? What can you do? Jesus says, I'll take care of it. He says to Louisa, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. What does he want? He wants us to live in his divine will. And he's given us the way and the how this could be accomplished if we are reading. If we're not reading, we're in the boat with one oar, you know, just going around the street. You're not going to do anything. You can't do anything. This is God's work. God's going to do it. And that's what the Archbishop said. You've done this in a holy way, saying the way. And he says, divine will must be given out in a divine manner. You have to live it. We have to live it. It's not me telling my family what to do. They don't want to listen. It's not me telling my friends what to do. They don't want to do it. They don't want to listen. It's not me, you know, getting a pulpit and saying, you have to do this. It doesn't work that way. It's us. We're the yeast. We have to live this to the point that others are, the leaven is given to them. They go, I want this. How can I possess it? So when we possess it as leaven, as yeast, it will give life and light to everyone and everything. God's going to do it. It's not proclaiming Louisa as a saint. It's not saying we want her canonized. It's to live the life that Jesus gave to Louisa. You'll understand this as you read. You'll understand this is not about another St. Francis or another St. Clair. This is about the little daughter of the divine will who has the true life of Jesus and Mary. That's what this is about. And as you read this, I know some people, they've read like a chapter and go, oh, I don't want this. And well, they haven't learned the language of heaven. You have to learn the language of heaven. And it takes time to learn a language. You don't read the first book and then you're fluent in the language. This is what the book of heaven is. As you read it, as you study it, as you enter into this life, the more that you read, the more God is revealing to you the secrets and the treasures, the things that the saints didn't know. Why is he doing this now? Because of Louisa. They didn't have Louisa. It was not time for them to understand what God is going to do in a sanctifying way. I mean, even the book, The Sanctifier by Archbishop Martinez, it's a great book. I mean, I taught that in a number of parishes, but it doesn't come close to what the divine will is. It doesn't come close. He wrote the book, The Sanctifier. It's a great book, but it's the, if you want to say the preface of the divine will, it doesn't get into the depth, the beauty that Jesus taught Louisa. As we read this, and it depends on our docility, depends on our disposition to say yes to God so that he can lead us, guide us, direct us. He says, I can't give this gift to those that are not disposed. A lot of people say they love the divine will, but they still live in a saintly, good, and holy way. That's volume 1 through volume 10. To live in the divine will, we have to go to volume 11 through 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the secrets of treasure that Jesus and Mary told Louisa. And then finally, volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. How to get back to where Adam was before the fall. As you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, it brings to life, to light, to love, this office that God has given each and every one of us. It's not the office of Louisa. We work together with Louisa, but what God has planned. And this is what he says. He says, in order to execute it well, it is necessary that the one who is to carry out the office entrusted to her, the sister Louisa, contains so much of that good which Louisa must give to others, that's to us, according to the mission for which Louisa was created, that as much of it as she gives, it is never exhausted. Why? It's the divine will of God. Not even one atom exhausted. See, God is saying he needs us to enter into a divine understanding. Okay. Human understanding is limited. When you read Louisa, Jesus has expanded your capacity to understand from his perspective, from Jesus's perspective, a divine perspective. Our intellect, the one of the three powers, has to change. We can't just be focused on the things of this life. Jesus says, I want you to understand that the divine realities, this divine life, this divine love, this divine light, and he teaches us little by little how to enter into this abundant life. And then our memory, it's not about what they said about me, what they did to my family, what they did to my nation. No, it's what did Jesus and Mary do? How did they live? How did they pray? I mean, we're starting Advent today, and I'll tell you, this is going to be a great Advent. Prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. It's going to be in the divine will. If you can get the rounds of Advent, they're also the rounds of Christmas, is the same thing. And from now until the end of Christmas, the Christmas season, you're going to experience your prayer life change with the round of creation and redemption during Advent. Everything comes from Louisa. Nothing in the book, the rounds of Advent, are saintly. They might sound saintly, but as you enter into it, it's Jesus sharing in divinity what he has planned for us. And it's a great time. This Advent is going to be fun. Prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. We have to. It's like climbing a mountain, and you've got all this gear with you. You know, I'm going to go camping on the mountain. You know, you can't get up. You have to get rid of the stuff. You have to get rid of that which is oppressing you, and to be free. You've got to let the Lord free you from everything that has oppressed you. That everything that has held you back from God, and he wants to free us, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to do this. So he says, as soon as I can find it, this was even more convenient. Okay, as soon as I can find it. Okay, this was in addition. Okay. Oh, here. Thank you. I have it. I see. This was even more convenient to, sorry about that, who was to be the new son. Listen to Jesus is saying, this was even more convenient to me, Jesus, who was to be the new son of souls, this new light, this new life, this new love, Jesus says, who was to give light to all, to embrace all with light, to bring them to the supreme majesty, offering to this divine majesty as an act from myself, act from Jesus, which would contain all acts, to make the superabundant light of my divine will descend upon all of me humanity in order to rescue them. So Jesus says, this entering into your office, you're going to experience what Jesus says, what Jesus has done. In addition to me, there is my celestial mother, who received the unique mission as mother of a God son, in the office of co-redemptrix of mankind. This is important for us to know. Everything is ready. You don't have to worry about anything. Everything is ready. For Our Lady's mission of divine maternity, Our Lady was enriched with so much grace that all the other creatures combined, both celestial and terrestrial, would never be able to equal the Blessed Mother. Remember that. Some people say, you're making Louisa greater than Our Lady. No way. Our Lady's mother and queen. Louisa's the little daughter. there's no way. Like Jesus says, no one can ever be equal to the Blessed Mother. But this was not enough to draw the word Jesus into a maternal womb. It was necessary that Mary, the mother, put in action all this abyss of grace and gifts by embracing all creatures, loving them, repairing them, adoring them, adoring the supreme majesty for all of humanity in such a way as to accomplish herself all the human generations that owed to God. This is what we do in the divine will. In the name of everyone and everything, we give back to God what all of humanity hasn't given back. How do you do that? How can you give to God what all? It's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. This is what God is doing. In such a way to accomplish herself that all of human generations owed to God. Therefore, in her virginal heart, Mary had the inexhaustible vein for God and for all creatures. When the divinity found in this virgin compensation for the love of all of humanity, Our Lady's heart felt enraptured and formed in her its conception. That is the incarnation of the word, Jesus. And as Mary conceived me, Jesus, she says, Mary took on the office of co-redemptrix and shared and embraced together with me all the pains and substitutions and reparations, the maternal love for all of humanity. In the heart of my mother, there was a fiber of maternal love for each and every soul. This is why, in truth, with justice, when I, Jesus, was on the cross, I, Jesus, declared Mary her mother of all. And Mary ran together with me in the love, in the sufferings, in everything. Mary never left me alone. If the Eternal One had not placed so much grace in the Blessed Mother as to be able to receive alone the love of all, he would never have moved from heaven to come down upon earth to redeem mankind. Because of her, because of the Blessed Mother, mankind was redeemed. Because of her fiat. Here is the necessity. Here is the convenience that Mary had to embrace and surpass everything as befitting the mission of the Mother of the Word, the mission of the Mother of God, Theotokos. When an office is unique, as a consequence, nothing must escape the one who has it as mission. He must have everything under his eyes so as to be able to offer the good that he possesses. He must be like a true son, S-U-N, that can give life to all. So were I and my celestial mother, the true sun, this light, this life, this love. Now he tells us, now he wants us to know about Luisa. Your mission, Luisa, and see, we are linked to Luisa as much as we can, 30, 60, or 100 fold, as much as we want. And God says, I want to give you whatever you want. He gives to humanity what humanity is going through. God is saying, whatever you want, I have to give to you. If you want hell, that's what I have to give to you. And if you look at the devil, that's what he gave the devil. The devil wanted hell, and it's his. A lot of people want misery. A lot of people want fear. A lot of people want anxiety. A lot of people want complaints. A lot of people want negativity. Jesus says, I don't want you to have that. I want you to have peace, joy, and happiness. I want you to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. I want you to have heaven on earth. May your kingdom come on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. That's what God is asking. That's what the book of heaven is all about. As you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, the Lord keeps on expanding your capacity to receive more. Again, this is an amazing, amazing time to be alive. Now, your mission, Luisa, of making known the eternal will is braided with mine and that of my dear mother. Three braids. It's the weaving of the hair. You don't know which branch is which after a while. It's to be one. This is what God wants with a new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. This is your mission, Luisa, Jesus says. I want you to be the firstborn of this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, braided together. I mean, listen to what he says. He says, and since it had to serve for the good of all, it was necessary to centralize the eternal son, S-U-N, of my divine will into one creature, Luisa. So Jesus says, this abundant life, now is given back to humanity. Adam lost it. Jesus comes as the new Adam. Mary comes as the new Eve. Why? To give back to humanity this abundant life that Adam lost. But it's even more than what Adam lost. Look at Holy Saturday Night. Oh, happy fall of Adam. We're happy that Adam fell. Why? We have Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, as our Adam and Eve. He says, into Luisa, so that a unique mission, this sun, S-U-N, might let its rays blaze from Luisa and all might take the good of its divine light, divine life, divine love of the Trinity. This implies for the decorum and the honor of my will, I, Jesus, had to pour into you, Luisa, as bearers and preparations. Such graces, such lights, such love, such knowledge of the divine will as to befit the residence of the Son of my will, S-U-N, of my will. Listen to what he's saying here. Whoa, such grace, light, love, knowledge of the divine will to befit the residence that God says, in you, Luisa, the Son of my will, S-U-N of my will. In its office of Redeemer, conceived all souls, the same was to happen in you, Luisa, your mission, Luisa, your office, Luisa, to make the divine will known and reign. So here Jesus is saying that what he has given to Luisa, what he wants Luisa to receive, this mission is to bring back to humanity what Adam lost. Think about that. Not to be like this, and not to be get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die, become food for worms. Jesus says that what he has planned for humanity, when Adam sinned, when Adam lost this, it took 4,000 years. This is the 40 days of Lent. Each day represents the 40 centuries. It's over. It's what God is asking is then what happens? Then he redeems us after those 40 days, after those 40 centuries. And then now 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now he's ready to give back to humanity the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. And what is coming is going to astonish the world. And Jesus is saying to us, I want you to begin to live this life. Live this life, he says, of peace, joy, and happiness. Live this life where there's no worry, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity, there's no sin. We all go to confession each week, but that's what God promises. When the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven, when that day comes, we are going to be free. So what is he saying? He's saying you have to train yourself to not to worry anymore. Let's go through this past week. Everything we've heard, everything we've saw, everything around us is saying doom and gloom, death and destruction, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin. We say, no, I trust in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I have confidence in Jesus. And Jesus will test us. Do you really have confidence in me? What about this situation? He stands back. He says he wants to know what we want. You want fear? Keep the demon of fear alive in you. Keep on fearing. Feed that demon more fear. Keep him alive in you. That's what you want. That you want negativity. Keep that demon of negativity alive in you. Feed him negativity. You know, it's Jesus says, be free of this. I freed you of this. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus says, I believe in you. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin are demonic. Yeah, they're not part of what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to be Jesus says, that yeast that gives light and life to everyone around you. He says, I want the divine will in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family. Let's just think about Thanksgiving. How was your family there? Was Jesus there? Or were you there with your complaints and your negativity, your worry, your fear? Jesus has to be there. That's what he gave to Louisa, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And see, we have to discipline ourselves to say, I want this life of Jesus. I want this life of Mary. I don't want the human misery any longer. And again, what is your human misery? It's when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. No more worry. No more fear. No more anxiety. No more complaints. No more negativity. And you have to discipline yourself. Okay, so what is Jesus asking? He's asking us to be free of all that the evil one wants to oppress you with. So what has Jesus done? In these times when all the heresies are going to hit the church, in these times when you're going to see a lot of closed churches, when in these times, what has Jesus given us? He's given us the book of heaven. He says, I'll take care of it. That's what he says to Louisa. You read volume 10, what he says about priesthood, what he says about bishops. You read what he says in volume 10. He knows what's happening. And he's saying to us, everything's going to change. Everything's going to change for the better. He says, what he has called the priesthood to is, the priesthood is Jesus said, is the most important thing that he's given to his church. He says, and the evil one knows this, and the evil one's attacked it. Let's look at marriage. What God has joined, let no man tear asunder. It's the evil one knows this, and he's after the married. He's after the youth. I mean, what is happening all around us? Jesus is saying, what are you going to do about this? How do you respond to this situation? How do you respond to that situation? God is watching. And our job is to turn back to him. I trust you. I believe you. I have confidence in you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You are my master. You are my King. There's nothing to worry about. God has got everything planned, and he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to. So this is what he says. He says very clearly, as soon as I can see him. Okay, as soon as I find it again. I am so sorry. Louisa, in your mission. Okay. In mission, your office is to make my divine will known and reign. So as we read the book of heaven, the mission of Louisa was to stay in bed without eating, drinking, or sleeping for 64 years. Bishop Piccieri said 70 years. She stayed in bed without eating, drinking, or sleeping. And what did she do? Jesus would speak to her about what he is going to do. And he asked Louisa to be the secretary. As he dictated to Louisa, she would write everything down. And that's the thing that's so glorious. As we read what Jesus tells Louisa, everything becomes meaningful. Everything becomes, the sacred scriptures come alive. Your breviary comes alive. The sacraments and sacramentals come alive. Our dogma and doctrine come alive. Why? Jesus is expanding our capacity to understand why he has done everything, why he, as God, has planned this, this great event that's coming, why he is inviting us to enter into this, but he's not going to force us to. He says, basically, you know, I have to give you what you want. And if you want to be miserable, then you're going to spend a long time in purgatory to be burned that misery will be gone from you. It's every thought, every word, every deed. This, you know, they talk about the illumination of conscience. The illumination of conscience is to go through, and it can happen in a very short time, very almost in an instant. God go through in your entire life of every thought, of every word, of every deed, and everything that you failed to do. And he's going to show the consequences. That's what the illumination of conscience is. Show the consequences of our sin, how it's affected everybody. How that sin is like throwing a stone into the pond, and these ripples affect the whole pond. And Jesus it's going to be terrifying. Most people don't even recognize the sins that they have committed. They don't even recognize it. And God's going to show us, this is what you did. This is how you treated God. This is how you treated your family. This is how you treated your friends. This is how you treated your enemies. This is how you treated everybody. So Jesus is asking us now to enter into this time of self-reflection so that we can go to confession before the illumination of conscience to make a firm purpose of amendment, to avoid the near occasion of sin, to say to Jesus, I want to change my way of living so that I can live the way you have called me to live. And this is the office. This is what we're going to get into a little later. The office. Luisa's office was to make the divine will known. But now what Jesus is saying to us, I want you to live this. We got to know this. To know it is to study it. And to know it is to have the book of heaven and to read. And this is why, like I mentioned before, when we started years ago, all we had was mimeographed sheets of paper. That's all we had. We had no books. We had nothing. And one glorious day, we had them all. And to get them translated took almost 10 years to translate into English. They still got to be translated into all the languages. But when God is saying to us, I've got to get you ready. I want you to be the yeast, so that everyone will receive this life, this light, this love, and the leaven in the church. Everyone will be one of one heart, one mind, one faith. That's what's coming. And it's not to go backwards. It's to go forward. It's to say to the Lord, how do you want this done? And show us what we need to do. God goes, good, get out of the way. Let me show you. That's what I see in the book of heaven. It's to enter into this life that Jesus has dictated to Luisa, that Luisa lives. She's the only one that lives this. To live in the divine will is to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. She lives it. And we want what God has given to her. That's what we want. So Jesus says this. He says, the same things that happened to you, Luisa, your mission and office is to make the divine will known and reign. Known and reign. Okay, we're just beginning to know it. And we're just beginning to let it reign in us on earth, this dust on earth as it is in heaven. So how do we do this? It's the fiat. It's to always say fiat to God. God's going to show us a situation that's going to be devastating. And our job is to say fiat. I'm sorry. Number one, thank you for letting me see this. Sorry. Number two, I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord. And number three, I want to repair this. I want to redo this. This is what he taught Luisa, how to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Because Jesus says, this is the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated and you will renew the face of the earth. Through us, that's what's going to happen. A new beginning for all of humanity. And so what he's asking us to embrace this life. This is what he's saying. He says very clearly, the reason I created you, Jesus says, is to make my divine will known and reign in humanity. Your office is to proclaim this, Jesus says. Write it down so that anyone who wants this can have it. As you continue to do your acts in my divine will for all past, present, and future, all creatures remain conceived in your will. Okay? So here, this is what Jesus shows Louisa, that you are going to, that's a whole nother section that you have to get into. Louisa, the little mama of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Louis, as we had Mother Angelica, we have Mother Teresa, we have Mother Gabriel. Louisa is our little mother, where Jesus says we're going to receive from her the life that she possesses. And this is what's so important about Louisa. Your office is to make known the divine will. You continue to do your acts in my divine will for all people, past, present, and future. All creatures remain conceived in your will. What happens is her will is the divine will. She takes her will. Our Lady teaches Louisa the six steps of living in the divine will. It's not just I want to live in the divine will and you're in the divine will. That's the desire. That's the very first step. But the six steps is to go through your whole entire being, to surrender completely on those first 6 days of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. God is asking us to learn from the Blessed Mother how Louisa lived this life. And it's intense. It's not just, I give up my human will. No, it's you go through layer. It's like an onion, layer by layer by layer, of getting deeper and deeper and deeper so that you can surrender your human will and put it at the throne of God and leave it there. The human will was made for God, not for us. That's why we're so miserable. God was to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. That was, he said, I made the universe for man. I made the human will for God. And Adam said, get out, God. I'm going to take care of it. I want. That's the original sin. I'm going to do what I want. God says, fine. You're miserable you're going to be miserable because you don't have the peace, the joy, the happiness of heaven in you anymore. All you have is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And that's why God is asking us to fight, discipline ourselves. No more worry. No more fear. Like I said, every day he says, what about this situation? We've got to learn to say fiat in every situation. Yeah, you know, it's a sunny day, fiat. It's a rainy day, fiat. It's a cloudy day, fiat. It's a snowy day, fiat. It's to say to the Lord, you are in charge, not me. Whatever you want is what I want. And when we surrender, this is the learning how to give our fiat to God. Learning how to live in the divine will, how to give up our human will. When we learn to say yes to God, everything is fiat. Everything is joy. What do we see? Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, it's rainy. Oh, the food is cold. Oh, it's like, who cares? Everything, Lord, thank you that I can go through this for you, for your glory, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. To give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that all of humanity should be given to you. And I want to see, Jesus said to Louisa, would you stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach? For not just for the Israelites, but for all of humanity. Louisa said, yes, we do this for our communities, our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. It's going to get oppressive. It's going to get really oppressive. But our job is to say, yes, Lord, I want what you want. I want to live in this abundant life. I want this. Is it raining out? I want it. Is it sunny out? I want it. Is it cold out? I want it. It's fiat in every situation. Why? I trust in you. You're doing this for a reason. I trust you. You're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. I know this is for my benefit. Thank you. If we see, this is the training that we have to go through. If we get upset, something is wrong. If we become worried, something is wrong. If we become anxious, something is wrong. And what's wrong is we failed to enter the fiat. I want my way. No, it's your way. Whatever you want, God, whatever you have asked, fiat, whatever you want is fiat. That's how Louisa lived. I mean, when you read Louisa, I remember one time, well, many times, Jesus would say to Louisa, "Louisa, what do you want?" And she say, "I only want you." And he goes, "Yeah. But what do you want?" And she says, "I only want you." She goes, "No, Louisa, I want you to think. What do you want? What do you need?" This is what God says to us as well. And she said, finally, "I only want you." And Jesus says, "Brava, finally, there's someone that only wants me." This is how we are to live. It doesn't matter what's out there. The only thing that matters is God. The only thing that matters is Jesus. And to say yes to him continuously. Fiat to him continuously. That's how Our Lady lived. Even at the foot of the cross, she gave her fiat. Her heart was split in two, but she gave her fiat. Jesus is asking us to do the same thing. You're not free of sorrow. You're going to go through things that it will be sorrowful, but we still trust in God, believe in God, hope in God, have confidence in God. We don't despair. We're not discouraged. Everything is fiat. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want is what I want. That's what Jesus is saying to Louisa. He says very, very clearly, "I want all creatures remain conceived in your will, Louisa." Why? It's the divine will. "And as you keep repeating your acts in mine," Jesus's, "you, Louisa, will form many sips of divine life in order to be able to nourish all the creatures, past, present, and future, which are as though conceived in yours, as if conceived in yours by virtue of my divine will." So he's saying, you're going to do this to give life to us, the ones who will follow you, the ones who you will bring to life, if you want to say, of living in the divine will. He says, everything you do, your acts repeating in Jesus' acts for the many sips of divine life in order to nourish all of mankind. Wait till you see what Jesus says about Louisa. He says to her, when humanity sees you, he says, basically, you know, you'll go to heaven, you die, you're going to go to heaven, you're going to do all that a human could possibly do, and then you're going to return to earth. And he says, when humanity sees you, the earth is going to shake. This is for joy, for those who want what God wants. For those who don't want what God wants, it's going to be wailing and grinding of teeth. When you hear the earthquakes that are coming, if they're not all bad, the earthquakes are going to be a lot of people jumping up and down for joy, and a lot of people stamping for knowing that they don't have what God wanted them to have. What's coming is really, really amazing. Get into this. Get into the book. And read, study. He's going to show you things that only you can see because of how he created you. We have different irises, different fingerprints, different voices, heights, sizes, shapes, colors. God did this because he loves our uniqueness and who we are. This is why I never be jealous of anybody. Who we are is what God has created from the beginning. And he says to Louisa, what I want to do is I want to make all of humanity a divine masterpiece, my divine masterpiece, a masterpiece created by God that God can enjoy for all eternity. Well, can you imagine what God is going to create? Each one of us, he says, I want to make my own divine masterpiece. No one can compare to another person. Yeah, you go to a museum, there's all different masterpieces. God says, what I have planned is a new beginning for humanity, but it's really not new. It's the oldest thing that was ever given. It's to be in God's image and likeness. This is the divine masterpiece that he promises. This is what he's given to Louisa. He says, you're going to nourish all all mankind, past, present, future, which are as though conceived in your will by virtue of my will. Do you not feel how in my divine will you embrace all past, present, and future from the first person to the last creature that is to be exist on earth? And for all you, Louisa, would want to satisfy, love, please the supreme will, binding it to everyone, removing all obstacles that prevents its dominion in the creatures. See, everything's going to be, see, what's coming is, okay, think about it. When heaven comes to earth, the one that's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. He can't stay here. Heaven's coming to earth. He's already been banished from heaven. He'll be banished from earth. What does that mean? No more worry, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. What's coming is the glory that's in paradise in the garden. What God has planned for humanity is that's where we're going to live. That's what Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947. She said, time has now come to an end. My children are going to enter into eternity where they're going to participate in the beatific vision, where they belong with God. The evil one and his children will always be trapped in time and space, never being able to participate in the beatific vision. God has to give everybody what they want. If you have said to God somehow you want the divine will, and God says, here it is. And now it's up to us to continue. He's done his part. Like I said, we had all we had was mimeograph sheets of paper. We have got the book of heaven now. And if we're reading it, if we're studying it, as Jesus said, he's going to change the face of the earth. Why? The kingdom is coming. He's got everything ready. He says, okay, so it says, removing all our obstacles that prevent its dominion. This is what's coming. You're going to please the supreme will, binding the divine will to all of humanity, removing all obstacles that prevent its dominion in the creatures, making it known to all. Everyone's going to know this. Even with sufferings, you, Louisa, expose yourself to satisfy for all this supreme will, which so much loves to be known and to reign in the midst of creatures. To you, Louisa, the firstborn daughter of my divine will, it is given to make known the divine qualities, the divine values, the divine goods that the divine will contains, and its eternal sorrow of living unknown, hidden in the midst of human generations, even more despised and offended by the evil ones and placed by the good ones, this is where the saints, at the level of other virtues, as if the divine will were a little light which is lit by men, as virtues are in comparison with my divine will, and not the eternal sun, S-U-N, that my divine will truly is. Jesus says, what I'm going to give to you, you're going to give to humanity, and they're going to wake up to become aware. You've heard about the Great Awakening. This is it. Wait till you see what God's got planned. The mission of my divine will is the greatest that can exist, and there is no good which does not descend from the divine will. There is no glory which does not come from the divine will. Everything is centered in the divine will. Our interior divine works and those which we, triune God, have delivered, the creation of the angels, the creation of the world, the creation of men, all virtues, all merits, all predestinations, all goods, all the glory of the chosen ones, all the mysteries of the infinite love of God, which are still unknown to man, the past, the present, the future, all in one act and in act and in one single point. That's a whole nother book, one single point. God wants us to enter into the prime act of God and to participate in all of God. That doesn't mean we possess God. It's what God is going to do is we're going to enter. See, that Jesus says the divine will is like the sun in the sky. The saints are like a halo around the sun, praising God and loving God and glorifying God. He says, little children, the Holy Divine will enter into the Son and participate in God. This is what he's talking about. All the mysteries of the infinite love, which are still unknown to man, the past, the present, the future, all in one act, and in act in one single point, in the prime act of God. When you pray your prevening act in the morning, end with that. I want to enter into the prime act of God. I want to enter into the single act of God. See, God said, fiat lux, the universe was created. Our Lady said, fiat mihi, and the incarnation took place. God became man. And now with the fiat voluntas, which he gave to Louisa and now gives to us, is to enter into this prime act of God, the one single point of God. What God is going to show us is so amazing. It's so beautiful. It's so holy that he's waited until now to give to humanity. Just think of the Summa that we read and study. Thomas didn't finish the third Summa. Why? He looked at everything and said, everything I've written is mere straw compared to what God is going to do. I really truly believe he got a glimpse of the divine will. And what God showed him is, Tom, you're on the right track. But wait till you see what I'm going to do. What God's got planned for humanity is that we really and truly become his children not in a mystical way, but in a real way, a physical way. And again, that's why scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. And so therefore, as he says this, I mean, listen to what he's saying. Our interior works are those we train on God have delivered to the creation of angels, of the word, of men, of angel virtues, of merits, of all predestinations, of all goods, of all glory, of the chosen ones, of all the mysteries of infinite love, which are still unknown to man, the past, present, and future, into one act, one single point. We're going to participate in this. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you're adoring our Lord in the monstrance, remember this. Read it if you have to. Ask the Lord to take you there to that one single point. Don't limit God. Well, it's not for me. God says, of course it's not for you. You don't want it. Don't limit God. If Jesus says this, say to the Lord, bring me to that one single point. Let me get a glimpse of this. Let me participate in this as much as you want. God goes, good. Let me show you what he... Our Lord says to Louisa, ask, tell me what you want. And when you go through all of this, we want, yes, God alone, but you can enter into that one single point. Watch what happens. Participate in it. Everything changes. Everything changes. Therefore, and again, have a spiritual director so that you're not doing this by yourself, because, you know, the evil one will try to mess you up. You know, so that's why when you go to your spiritual director and you say, okay, dot, 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 the spiritual director can say, okay, I think it would be good if you did this or that or this or that, and he'll help you. But when you try to do it on your own, some people, I don't need a spiritual director. Louisa didn't have a spiritual director. I don't need a spiritual director. And it's like St. Teresa says, if you do this by yourself, you'll direct yourself into hell. We have to surrender. That's one of the things that Jesus shows Louisa. Like he says to Louisa, you have to be obedient to your confessor. And Louisa goes, but he's saying the opposite of what you're saying. He goes, don't worry about that. Be obedient. I'll take care of him. And he did. Shortly after that, the priest says, I think you should do this, this. And he goes, she says to Jesus, now he's saying exactly what you said. See, God has plans. And When we listen to the Lord helps. So therefore, be attentive. Okay. To me, be attentive means read, study, put this into practice. And do not want to waste time with doubts or uncertainties. Banish that. Everything I told you, Louisa, for this mission was necessary, not for you, but for the honor, the glory, the knowledge, and the sanctity of my divine will, and it's of dominion in souls. So Jesus is saying everything that I've told you was necessary for the honor, the glory, the knowledge of the sanctity of God's divine will and the dominion in us. And since my will is one, since my will is one was to be the will of the creature to whom I, Jesus, was to entrust it and through whom I, Jesus, would make its rays blaze to do good to all. So what we're seeing is Jesus is saying, Louisa is one with Jesus, and this light of Jesus that's in Louisa are blazing from her to do good for all of humanity. That's where we are. We are at that place where this great outpouring of divine love, divine life, divine light is ready to be given to the world. And Jesus is saying, basically, time is short. Our Lady already said time has now come to an end. Jesus says, time is short. Get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. Get ready for a new beginning. Get ready for this awakening that is happening. And God is doing many, many things to get us ready. And the great thing is don't get discouraged. Praise God, love God, glorify God, worship God, thank God. Again, that's the rounds. Enter into the rounds, because what God is allowing to happen at this time is to get the world ready for a new beginning for all of humanity. And it looks painful. It looks difficult. But Jesus, we have to be, I keep on bringing back St. Joan of Arc. St. Joan of Arc said very, very clearly, I was made for this time. If a 16-year-old girl can lead an army and defeat another army and be wounded, what we have to go through is nothing compared to what God is going to bring about. What God is going to bring about is the new heavens and the new earth. This is what he tells Louisa. What John Paul II said, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. Get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. This is an amazing time to be alive. It's an astonishing time to be alive. And just keep on praying and not to worry. God's in charge. So we'll pray. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for all the little children, the holy divine will, to be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next month.